To the book of John, chapter 9, but I would like to sing the chorus, "Keep on walking by faith." Amen. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Sing it again. Think about it. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise His holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I'm delighted about the fact that we can do this yet again. Gather like this, worship the Lord. We never know when the last one will be. We just don't know. But I've sought the Lord, and He gave me something to tell you today, and I'm thankful for that. I've been preaching a long time, since I was 20 years old. I'm almost 59 now. The Lord has shown me a lot of things all along the way. It's been rough. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. Now, that might sound funny to you, but if you're looking for an easy life, don't be a preacher unless you want to be one of those charlatans out there, those money grabbers. Because if you take the Word of God seriously, you're carrying a heavy weight all the time. And I take it very seriously. And right now, I feel like I'm under more pressure than I've ever been in my entire life because of what the Lord is showing me about things that are soon to come. In fact, I don't know if I can even do this morning, but I'm going to try. And the Lord is always with me. He's always helped me. But it's heavy on my heart. I know the Lord is coming soon. We are going to look at a subject. I'm going to call the message today Spiritual Twilight. Spiritual Twilight. And I'm going to have you turn with me to John chapter 9. I'm going to begin with a verse or two here, but first we're going to pray. Dear Father in heaven, without Thee we can do nothing. And we are here, Lord, presenting ourselves unto Thee humbly, O God, being completely dependent upon Thee. And O Lord, I know we couldn't draw one breath without Thee. We couldn't lift one finger without Thee, O God. There's nothing we could do, O God, except that Thou help us. And now, Lord, look upon Thy people, not only those in this congregation, but all over this whole wide world that will be hearing this message, all of those listening on the internet throughout this globe, and all of those that will receive the thousands of messages through the mail that are delivered all over the world. Lord, I pray that Thou wouldst touch hearts, that Thou wouldst draw Thy people, O God, that Thou wouldst revive Thy people, O Lord, and reach many lost through these messages, O God. Lord, the time is short, as Thou knowest, for Thou knowest the day and the hour, Holy Father. And I pray, O God, that in the name of Jesus, that Thou wouldst now strengthen us to receive Thy word. And let Satan be rebuked and bound and cast out. He knoweth he hath but a short time. But Lord, help us to know it also. And I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst give us Thy grace, Thy mercy, that we might serve Thee thereby. Fill us with wisdom, with power, with light from heaven. And in the name of Jesus, we ask it through the power of the blood, that Thou wouldst give us victory over all things to Thy glory. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Of course, twilight is something we're all familiar with because we experience it twice a day. Usually you think of twilight as after the sun sets. For a while it's a kind of light, but getting darker gradually. But really there's two sets of twilight. They call it civil twilight. And civil twilight is also before the sun rises. You see, when the sun is 6 degrees below the horizon, either in the east or the west, that's twilight. Now, as it is about to rise, when it's 6 degrees below the horizon in the east, you notice it starts to get light. The sun's not up yet. And then, of course, it gets brighter and brighter, and you have the day. And then in the evening, when the sun sets, it still stays light for a while. And that's called civil twilight, and it stays light until the sun is 6 degrees below the horizon, and then it's dark. Then you have what's called night. Well, you know, I was really startled the way the Lord gave me this. He just really shook me up. And I don't know, maybe I don't, what is normal anyway? Last Monday I had a doctor tell me, you're normal. That's the meaning, I was all healed and all the numbers were good and everything. But that's the first time anybody in my life ever looked at me and told me I'm normal. I've never had that experience before in my life. And I don't know, that was just his opinion. But it was nice to hear, I think. Now, the Lord really shook me up, because not only is there a twilight in the natural sense that we experience twice a day, but there is a spiritual twilight leading to a night. And after that night is over, there will be the dawning of the new day, which is the coming of the Lord. But what really shook me up about this, and I'm going to just read this verse, and then I will elaborate, and we'll get into some things here. In John chapter 9, Jesus was about to heal a man who was born blind. And of course, he was to be greatly criticized for it, greatly condemned for it, because as he so often did, he healed this man on the Sabbath day. And sometimes I wonder if he didn't, well, I know for a fact everything he did was written in heaven in advance. But there's just, it's interesting to me how he kept doing this on the Sabbath days, and it just irritated them to no end. Because he was showing them, beyond any doubt, that he was Lord of the Sabbath. That, in other words, when you're in Jesus Christ, every day becomes a Sabbath of rest in him. Our rest is his presence within us, not a day on the calendar. By the way, our calendar is all messed up anyway. You don't even know what day the seventh day is anymore. Come on. I know some people don't like that. Well, if that's your little play pretty and you want to just sit in your lazy boy and eat sandwiches and not even flip a light switch for 24 hours, go ahead. But it's getting you nowhere. You know, today is a day on a calendar. Every day is somewhere on a calendar. This is the Ides of March. Isn't it interesting how we had all these happenings just recently? All these shootings at the time of the full moon, the second Friday the 13th, 2 months in a row. There's another one in November, by the way. You know how rare that is to have 3 Fridays the 13th in 1 year? And 2 months in a row, and then the full moon, we had these shootings right before the Ides of March. Oh, that's all just coincidence, isn't it? No! You see, the people running this government and running, now the government, all the governance of the world, I should say, are involved in the occult. There is one who is called the God of this world. And we are not to follow him. That is Satan. And his subordinates and all of his stooges and puppets that are running things out there, and including this government and how, operate along the guidelines of the occult. They literally have covens of witches. You know, there are 10,000 initiated witches alone just in Brooklyn. There are countless thousands in the San Francisco Bay Area, in Colorado. They practice, they do spells, incantations. To us, it's stupid. I agree. But it generates a lot of occult power. And they use their efforts to an end. They're trying to pull together a spiritual force to bring forth the one world government under their God, Satan, Lucifer as they call him. And we've known this for years and years and years. But isn't it amazing how things keep happening and people just don't pay enough attention? They happen in patterns. They had all these shootings. You know, down in Alabama where they had that shooting, this guy went on a rampage and killed all these people. They called out the United States Army to patrol the streets in the city down there. See, that was a good exercise for them. They put together a Manchurian candidate. They program the cortex of his brain using a quad S system. They go right into the brain. They tell him what to do. He has these mechanical, diabolical smiles on his face as he's pulling the trigger. No, he's not some nut. He's been programmed. And then they bring out the army into the streets. They're having a little practice run. All right within the occult framework of these weird days. Over in Germany, same time, same station, so to speak, 15 killed. And this man was all dressed in black. They said that one teacher blocked the doorway, and he got this smile on his face and shot her in the face. And went and started killing all these girls, said, "Are you all dead yet?" And he keeps firing away. And then he had a big smile on his face. Now, this is not some case for Sigmund Freud here. We are talking about a demonically induced incident by a programmed person. And now all over Europe, they're saying we must ban all guns. Right? Nobody can have a gun. That's what Hitler said when he came into power. And private citizens could not have a gun. You had to be in the military. You had to be one of them, you see. Oh, these things aren't just coincidental. You see, the Ides of March, of course, that's when Julius Caesar was stabbed to death in the Forum. But the Ides of March, the way the Romans believed it, and they looked at it in the spiritual sense. They said that the beginning of, or the middle, I should say, of every month, the very center of the month, was the time of intense occult power. And that's when the augurs, you know, the fortune tellers, would do their work. An augur is one who tells the future in the old Roman Empire. You get the word inaugurate from that. We recently had somebody inaugurated, didn't we? Yeah. Yes. This narcissist. But anyway, I'll come back to that later. But they believe that when you count 9 days from the middle of the month forward, 9 days backward, those are called nones, and then either direction, in other words, you have a waxing occult power toward the middle of the month, the Ides. The Ides were actually seven witches that the Romans believed in, mystical witches that would bring this crescendo of power to the 15th, and then it would begin to wane offward toward, or go down, just like the moon, for 9 days. 9 days before, 9 days after, so you have this crescendo and decrescendo of occult power. That's what they believed. Now, sadly, there are a lot of people in witchcraft that still believe that. And when they do, they stir up demons. When demons are stirred up, they work with people, and people do horrendous things. That's why it all works in patterns. I think anybody involved in the occult has to be absolutely out of their mind. But they do it. And more people are getting into it. We had a prayer request last night from a woman from, I believe it was Fork, Washington. And she said that it was always in the state of Washington. Nice little city, little town. But that's where the setting was for this Twilight vampire thing. The movie, the books, and all that. And so the town's playing it up big. All this publicity all of a sudden. Tourists coming in, spending a lot of money. The churches have gotten in on the act. Yeah, we're the vampire town. Because they get more offerings that way. People come in, yeah, we'll go to that church. Hey, how blind, dumb, and ignorant can anybody be? When I was in Salem, Massachusetts, one of the times I was there, I looked at the program, all printed in orange and black, and they had a witch on the cover and everything. and the Sisters of Eternal Damnation, a coven in Salem, were going to do a demonstration for the num-num public out there, you know? And they were going to do this demo on witchcraft, and it was sponsored, the event, the coven was sponsored by the Salem Baptist Church and the Salem Lutheran Church, and it was right in the program, and I've got one, for anybody who's doubting it. Where are we in time? But you know, they had this shoot 'em up out there, and all of these things are for a reason. And we are entering a period of time right now such as we have never seen before. We're already in it, but we're getting deeper into it. And this is what troubles me so much. So many people are complacent. When will it be at the point, in other words, when will people realize the need to bear down in prayer and call upon the Lord and take it seriously, all that Jesus said, take it seriously, because we are entering a state of emergency here. Now, Jesus, when he was about to heal this man who was born blind, before he did it, he had this to say. And I'd love to tell you the whole story about how he did that and the great things that came of it, and how he stirred up the religious world and got them in a frenzy of anger against him. And really, the churches today, they may be going through their rituals and doing all their things, but it is an anti-God system, which is why it doesn't work. But notice what Jesus said in John 9, verse 3. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Then he went on and said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." The night cometh when no man can work. Before that night comes, there is a twilight. There is a time, a strange time, an unusual time, a weird time, if you will, when everything seems off, different. Have you noticed it lately? You know, I talked to a pastor just the other day, somebody I know quite well, and he said, you know, in our church, in the past year, we had 72 people come in, baptized in Jesus' name, received the Holy Ghost, had a great experience, tears running down their face, and they're gone. They disappeared. They went back into the world. He said, "I have never seen anything like it in my life." The lack of the capacity of people to retain truth, to hold on for God, to face a world full of thousands of temptations every day, a high-tech world offering every kind of sin you can imagine, a government that says, "Trust us and we will take care of you," and people believe it. A man who will stand up and say, "That's okay, I'm going to fix it. I've been endowed with the power to fix it. I can stop oceans from rising." That's what he said. And people falling for this sort of a thing. The powers of Antichrist are already at work. Jesus said, and let's face it, he said that there is a period of time before he comes, for I believe he's prophesying here, that's called night. And when it's night, you can't work anymore. All you can do at that point is watch and pray. You know, that's hard for some of us to understand. We've never faced a situation like that. But it's tightening up out there. You know, down in Oklahoma City, there was a man driving down the road, and he had a bumper sticker on his car. The bumper sticker said, "Abort Obama, not babies." They pulled him over, they arrested him, they booked him for threatening the president. There was a big battle. They finally let him go. A simple bumper sticker that said, "Abort Obama," and not babies. Amen. By abort, meaning get him out of there. He doesn't belong there, never did. You know, there was a psychologist recently, a prominent psychologist, and I'm not big on psychology, but it's kind of interesting what he did. He did a profile on Obama. He studied him carefully. And this guy is an expert in his field, for whatever that's worth. But he studied Obama intensely, and he came up with a conclusion that Obama is a narcissist. In other words, a narcissist, by definition, one who loves himself so much that he doesn't care about anything else. See, it comes from that old Greek and Roman legend that there was a young man named Narcissus. And believe it or not, young boy. And he was so beautiful that, and he'd never seen his reflection, he'd never seen a mirror or anything, so he didn't know how he looked. And there was a nymph named Echo that chased him through the woods. This is all a legend now, you know, mythology. And she caught him, and he basically said, get lost. And so she had seen his beauty was so great that she just pined away, and there's nothing left but her voice. That's why you have the Echo, see? That's the voice of Echo, the unfulfilled voice of Echo. And then, but she prayed that vengeance would come upon him, you know, because he basically told her to get lost. And he went over to drink from a stream, and for the first time in his life, he saw his reflection in the stream, and he fell in love with himself and couldn't stop looking at himself. Then he realized that he couldn't fulfill the love for himself, so he killed himself. And that's, but you see, that is what a narcissist is, one who loves himself so much that he's unfulfilled. He can't fulfill the love of himself for himself. He can't love another. He loves himself too much. Doesn't love anything else, just himself. That's what we've got for a president. And if you look at him and watch him, that's what he is. Meanwhile, what's going on now that we have this professional Chicago gangster from the underworld as president? And that's what he is. Look at the people that he surrounded himself with. They've had FBI raids, you know, the dishonesty. The people that, who does he put in charge of the Treasury, which runs the IRS? A guy that didn't pay his taxes, right? This guy is lining up all the crooks and swindlers, and those are his cabinet members, those are his people. And people go on like there's nothing wrong. All they want to do is watch the next Netflix that comes out. All they want to do is entertain themselves. When will people wake up? It is a serious situation. Yeah, when it's, I'll tell you what, but we are in that twilight time right now. Approaching the darkness when Jesus said, no man, that includes you and I, we cannot work anymore. And that happens before he returns. And that's why he said, when that happens, you watch and you pray, and you watch and you pray. God will still do things. But we get to the point where that's all we can do is watch and pray. The night cometh when no man can work. Before the night, there will be a time of twilight, no doubt. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21. You know, it's kind of interesting. You look at the things going on. How are they going to handle the situation? We've got the Iranians who now have enough uranium-235 to make plenty of weapons. They are pledged to absolutely wipe the state of Israel off the map. And now they've got the firepower to do it. Something's going to give. And of course, the Israelis said, we're going to go get them before they get us. We're going to do it to them before they do it to us. So Obama's got to deal with that. Right? Now we've got the Russians have come in, and they're setting up military bases in Cuba. And over in Venezuela, Chavez has given them an entire island for a bomber base. Venezuela. Now, how are they going to deal with that? You might say, oh, it's just one of those little things. They're just kind of threatening. And the Bible does tell us there is a World War III. There is an Armageddon. There is a time coming when prophecy will all be fulfilled. Everything that God ever wrote in this book, Old and New Testament, will happen. And you preach this sort of a thing, and you try to let people know that the prophecies will be fulfilled, and what do they tell you? Oh, I go to the Baptist church. They told me I'm going to go up and out of here before anything happens. Because God loves us so much, He's just going to zap us out, and out we go. And so they don't care about prophecy. Doesn't matter to them at all. I'll be out of here. That's right. And then they get the impression they're going to sit down and pig out at a big dinner for 7 years while the earth is in a bloodbath, right? And they're going to sit there with their little finger bowls, you know, up there in heaven and little delicacies. And they're going to say, oh, isn't this wonderful? For 7 years we have a big banquet. If you don't realize that the marriage supper of the Lamb is every time God's people get together and hear the Word of God, then you miss the whole point. We don't feast on these carnal things. We feast on the presence of God, the bread of life. Every time we gather together. They try to say, well, God's going to withdraw from the world. How can one who is omnipresent withdraw from the world? He's everywhere at once. He fills the universe. But you see, it makes for interesting comic books and movies and things like that. And they say, we're not going to go through anything. You're already going through it and don't realize it. Banks are failing. Everything's crumbling. They're talking about the new economy that must come forth. They're talking global economics all the time now. They're having meetings about it. We're going to have to go all electronic. That's right. And if you're not in their system, you don't buy or sell. Does the Bible have anything to say about that? Well, spiritual twilight. You can still work in the twilight, but you can't work at night. Interesting, too, 6 degrees. 6 degrees before the sun comes up is civil twilight in the morning. Then you go around, and 6 degrees after it sets, it's civil twilight. And you come back to another six degrees before sunrise. So you got 3 sixes before the next day appears. And that happens every day of the week. See, God built all of this in to show that the world would be encompassed by evil. The day would come when evil would rise up. And of course, it will be judged. It will be put down. I'm telling you, I'm glad that we know the Lord today. I'm glad we understand these things. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. We are at the very doors of the coming of our Lord. So yeah, the world is getting ready for war. China is armed to the teeth. They're building up their arms. We've been threatening them lately, aggravating them. See, Obama is so in love with himself, he doesn't care about anything. Nothing bothers him. He's the what me worry boy, you know? I'm not going to worry, huh? Me? Obama? It's a sad situation that we're in right now. 1,000 things are threatening us. And you look at the population of the United States, and it's like they're mesmerized. They're in a stupor of some kind. I think they've been watching their televisions and movies so much that their brains are programmed. And they can't think. They can't reason. You try to talk to them and you can't get anywhere. Of course, none of us have experienced that, have we? And you try and try, and you'd like to unscrew the top of their head and pour some sense into it, some ability. But see, only God can touch them. Only the Lord can straighten that out. And I also believe that there is a diminishing number of people in the twilight time. Almost said twilight zone. Well, you might want to call it that too. I don't know. But I hear all of these revivalists saying, look, we can fill up Madison Square Garden. We could fill up Yankee Stadium. All these Christians. And they're waving their arms and, oh boy, look at this big revival, revival. Hey, the Bible doesn't teach that. It says, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. You're going to have a little handful. There's going to be a remnant. There's going to be a residue of God, but not any big movement. Noah didn't experience that. And Lot had his faults, but Sodom and Gomorrah were so much worse that it grieved his righteous soul every day to see their unlawful deeds. And I realize that none of us are perfect, but isn't it a grief just to watch this world? We all need more of the Lord. We all need to be revived every day in the Holy Ghost. Every day. Because there's a great war going on. We are in a time of spiritual twilight. The night is coming. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21. In Luke 21, I want to get toward the end of this chapter, but I'm going to start at 25. We need to look at this. It says, and there shall be signs in the sun. Oh, by the way, did you know that our astronauts up at that space station, that International Space Station, which is 13 stories high, which has 13 compartments and weighs 13,000 pounds and all, you know, all these 13, 13, 13, which is the number of rebellion. You knew that, didn't you? That's why Witch Coven is, always has 13 in it and so forth. Anyway, they were up in the space station and the space junk started coming at them. Remember that the collision up there between those two satellites left all the space junk up there? They had to evacuate the space station. Had this thing hit, it would have given them 5 minutes worth of air. It missed them slightly. We have had two asteroids brush our atmosphere at a distance, about half the distance as our moon is from us. Did they tell you about that? No, that's not news. What's news? Lindsay Lohan, and I don't even know anything about her, but I hear this stuff, you know. And all these stars and starlets and piglets and everything, you know. That's news, see? Everybody wants to know about that, but an asteroid coming at the Earth, oh, who cares? Whoo! Lord, help us. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations. Why did the U.S. Army just order $6 million worth of riot gear? Are they expecting any trouble when they close down all of the banks and nobody can get their money? What do you think people are going to do? Hey, don't say it can't happen. Look back in history a little ways. They know there's going to be trouble. They understand that. And they're taking all kinds of measures to get ready for crowd control, for riot control, because we are looking at a time of great distress. So it says there would be upon the earth distress of nations. With perplexity. Now they keep telling you, oh, we know how to fix this. We'll fix this. Yeah, we'll straighten this all out. But the word perplexity, as I've mentioned before, comes from the word aporia, the Greek word, which means unable to find a way out. They keep telling us they're going to do it, but they never do it. It's because they don't know how. And of course, Red China has been literally ordered by Hillary Clinton to keep buying our debt. You better keep buying our debt. Buy debt? I don't want to buy any debt. Do you want to buy any debt? Anybody out for buying debt? especially when you don't have an earnings engine to pay it back. Drive up and down any city, in the streets in the city, empty building after empty building after empty building after empty building, empty stores, empty factories, empty shopping malls. They had a janitor thing come open down in Ohio there. You probably heard about that. There's an opening for a janitor somewhere, and 700 applicants for one job. And now they're laying off, a fantastic amount of teachers in California. Of course, they should go.
That's right.
And they don't have my sympathy. Get a real job. Think of something to do. But don't feed propaganda to the children. That's been a problem for a long time. One of these government systems, you know, indoctrinational centers. You know, the public schools are complaining, we don't have any money, we got to shut down schools. All over Milwaukee, I think there's like 15 schools shut down, buildings standing empty. Violent zones, you know, the places of, you know, in New York City, they have SWAT teams assigned to certain schools. How are you going to learn anything in an environment like that? You walk in, there's a SWAT team all the time, every day, just waiting for trouble. You know, with their Lexan shields and their weapons and so forth. In a high school? We never had that. We never had a cop. We never had anything. When I was in high school, the farm kids would drive in with a truck to school. They'd have a shotgun hanging in the back window. And they'd leave the door unlocked and the windows open. Nobody bothered it. Do you know what would happen to you today to a farm kid if he'd drive to school with a shotgun hanging in the window? Do you know what would happen? We never had any trouble with that. It's not the world you were born into. It's not the country you were born into. Something happened. And now we've got this numbskull for a president. Let's tell it like it is. And you can't even put a bumper sticker in your car without getting arrested. I'm telling you, what did that guy think when he put a bumper sticker in his car, just a bumper sticker. All it said was, abort Obama, not babies. Oklahoma City, they pulled him in for threatening the president, booked him, made a criminal out of him, a felon. Of course, he argued his way out. They finally let him go. I think they realized they couldn't make this thing stick. But he didn't know what was going on. He's driving down the road and they pull him over. These big cops come out there. You threaten the President of the United States. Off he goes. Leave his car sit, haul him off to the station like he's some kind of a big, you know. I agree 100% with that sticker. I think everybody in Oklahoma City ought to have one. And everywhere else too. What's it coming to? We are in twilight time, folks. Jesus said the night is coming when no man can work. The night is coming. And so we read here about this word perplexity. They can't find a way out. They don't know. They keep telling you they're going to. They said the other day that Joe Biden was talking about the economy. You know, the vice president. You knew who that was, right? He landed in his air. Some airplane took him and got off the airplane, and he was talking. They said as soon as he got off the plane, I don't think he knew the microphones were on, but he cut loose with every kind of a four-letter, filthy, rotten word you could imagine. There's some real class for you, right? And I heard the broadcast, and it kept going beep, beep, beep. They're taking his words out, you know? Everybody was shocked. These people are a bunch of miserable lowlives. They really are. And somebody better tell it like it is. You can't be afraid of them. The Bible tells us it's the Spirit of God in us that's going to reprove the world of sin. In other words, you have to call sin, sin. Let sin be sin. Don't try to make it something else. Now they're all worried because Las Vegas is running out of water. Good. Dry it up. They said they can't get the conventions anymore. People don't want to spend the money. People aren't gambling. They've been to Lost Wages, Nevada enough times. They lost their money. They lost their jobs. They're losing everything. Read Isaiah chapter 5. It says, many great houses shall be without inhabitant. Look at all these big houses. For sale, for sale, for sale, for sale. All these foreclosures everywhere. The Bible says many great houses, many noble houses, big houses will be without inhabitant. Nobody lives there anymore. You'd think if you had a big house, nice place, somebody would be living there, but nobody lives there. That's what the Bible said would happen. But they don't know their Bible, and preachers don't preach the Bible. They're up there with their little movable Lexan pulpits so you can get it out of the way and turn on the disco globe and get those guys up there with their trap sets banging on the drums and guitars, and everybody goes, ooh, and they do the wave. Get the ball-bearing hips going, and boy, they go at it, and they say, oh, isn't this the Spirit? It's the Spirit. Which one? God doesn't come into an outfit like that except to judge it. Where are we in time? Jesus said, the night cometh when no man, not you, not me, no man can work. And I'll tell you, I know we are in the spiritual twilight right now. Perplexity. Can't find a way out. How's Obama going to deal with these Russians in Cuba now setting up bases? How's Obama going to deal with Chavez now that he gave Russia an island off Venezuela for a bomber base? How's he going to deal with that? Remember back in the Kennedy administration? October, I believe it was 62. John would remember it. I think it was 62. 13 days in October, they had a Cuban Missile Crisis. Russians had put missiles in Cuba capable of reaching anywhere in the United States except the state of Washington. That's just too far away, that upper corner they couldn't quite reach at that time. And of course, President Kennedy ordered them out, and they put up a blockade around Cuba, naval blockade, tried to keep the Russians out, try to ward them off. And by the way, our military was very clever, you know. They called that Operation Ortsak, which is Castro spelled backwards. That really conceals it, doesn't it? All you need is a mirror. But you know, it's amazing how back then we were so close to catastrophic war and we didn't have it. Of course, these things are planned ahead. They're lined up and so forth. But right now there is an alignment in the world that is threatening to bring forth a horrifying global war. Somebody out there is crazy enough to get it started. And we're on the very brink of that. Of course, people don't want to believe it. They'd refuse to believe it. Somebody will do something. Reminds me of that story about somebody, anybody, and nobody. Nobody did anything because everybody thought somebody would do it. It goes on and on and on. Nobody did anything. Now, the Word of God tells us there would be this perplexity. Sea and the waves roaring. Oh, by the way, do you feel good about your, if you have a savings, do you feel good about the fact you have FDIC? By the end of this year, there will be no insurance on your savings anymore. Now, they put another $500 billion into FDIC, but they're closing banks at such a rate, and so many of them are on the threatened list, that by the end of this year, they figure there will be no FDIC insurance. Then what happens? You lose your money. Well, I think some people won't like that. And if they don't like that and they have no recourse, they load and lock. And they're out into the streets. Could such a thing happen? You know, I'm absorbed in this sort of a thing all the time. Some would say it's not healthy, but I'll tell you what. I feel good about the fact that I know the Lord and that I know He's coming, and these are all signs of the times. I take it seriously. When the Lord told me to watch and pray, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm watching all the time, and I'm praying every day that the Lord would show me what's going on so I can write about it and preach about it and try to wake up some of these cement-headed people. Not you. The people all over the place. Now, see, you're accustomed to hearing things like this. So I know that you know. But we need to know it even better. I tell people sometimes, I don't know much, but what I know real good. And we need to be unshakable in this. We are in a time when everything that can be shaken will be shaken, but you and I have received a kingdom which cannot be removed. I think it's rather amazing how our astronauts had to get out of the space station. They had to dodge this thing coming at them. Evacuate a space station? Because junk is up there flying around, threatening everything? And now they're saying there's more and more debris up there. There's comets, there's asteroids. But see, again, that's not news. You don't need to know those things, right? If people knew that, they might. They just might pray a little. There's a God in heaven that still saves souls. There's a God in heaven who still hears repentance. And the angels of heaven rejoice when one sinner repents. And the devil knows it. And he has to work to do things, whatever he has to do, at any cost, to keep people from doing that. He's got to get into the churches and fill them with entertainment and queer preachers and queer bishops. And a man named Vicki Robinson. Vicki Robinson, a man. A what? A man. And Obama picks him for the inauguration to pray? I don't want anything to do with that prayer. You know what's going to happen? These guys like Rick Warren and Vicki Jean Robinson and the other queers and weirdos, that when they get up there and they pray, what did God say He would do? I will turn their blessings into cursing. You don't want a blessing from Gene Robinson. Because God says, I'll turn that into a curse. You don't want a blessing from the Pope. Pope will stand up there and lift up his little fingers and say, bless you. I don't want that. I don't receive that. You can have it back. Because God says He'll turn that into a curse. Every time He does it, it's a curse. But the people involved in that religious system, oh, the Pope has blessed me. Oh. What a strange time. And as the twilight advances and night is coming on, people are getting more and more that way. There is an apostasy. There's a spiritual death that is encroaching upon people more and more all the time. It's a hard time to live, isn't it? We're finding people out there, and they're finding us, and thank God there is a remnant. But the vast majority of the people, you have to look at them and say, where do I even start? They have to know something to start with, and they know nothing. Nothing. They know nothing about the Bible, these church members. They don't know the Bible. They never read the Bible. They go to church for entertainment purposes. And I'll tell you what, when you go to a place where God is truly worshipped, that's where spiritual battles are fought. That's where people are healed. That's where people are getting true blessings from God. We're not here to hear the drums banging and the guitars twanging away and amplifiers turned up, people boogieing around to the the beat. Moving with the grooving, reeling with the feeling, rocking and a rolling? No. We don't want it. We know what it's like to fight the devil. We're not going to cooperate with him. So yes, there is a perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now, if you look at that in a spiritual sense, the sea and the waves, that's the sea of humanity. That's the people. There's a great upset in the sea of humanity right now. You know why? Because the Bible says there's a dragon in the sea, which is Satan. Where is he? In the sea of humanity. Walking to and fro on the earth, up and down in it, except I think now he's stomping in it. He's running through it. His time is short. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. What's next? What's coming? Why, it's enough to give people heart attacks. Enough to give them heart failure. If they don't know God and all they do is see all this coming at them, what are they going to do? It's like an atheist. An atheist doesn't have a prayer. Well, Lord help us. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. There is a great upheaval going on right now in Satan's kingdom. You know, the thing is, these evil spirits are vying for power. Everything doesn't run just smooth and like clockwork in Satan's kingdom. It's not like that. There's confusion everywhere, and that's why there's confusion in the world. People are literally destroying themselves as they follow his ways. You know, if you just go back 40 years, some of you can't, you're not that old. Do you remember when we didn't have microwaves? Microcomputers. By the way, this economic mess that we're in right now, you couldn't have this without computers. It's such a big knotted up mess, it takes computers to run it. If computers would disappear, so would the problem. Come on. That net, that web, and I know I'm preaching on a computer right now, we're going into their marketplace and delivering the gospel. But it's like Hal said in 2001, A Space Odyssey, you know you can't run this ship without me. A computer says this. You can't run this ship without me. Could our Treasury Department, could our Infernal Revenue Service, could our different agencies, could they operate without computers? No. Could we have $1 trillion debt, 10 trillion, 11 trillion, without computers? What are you going to use, a pad and pencil? You see, it's Satan's business. And he thinks he knows what he's doing. But it's all foretold in the Word of God. How could you enforce a system where no man could buy or sell, save he that had a mark, or the name of the beast, the number of his name? That'd have to be a computer system. How could you enforce that worldwide? You could always have some guy out selling a bushel of apples on a street corner, right? There's got to be a way to enforce that somehow, where the money means nothing. And, you know, gold and silver is always better than paper, but they could get easily put this into effect that gold and silver isn't accepted. It's got to be electronic. See, there is no medium of exchange anymore except electronics. Until you get that charagma, as the Greek word says, put in there, get that installed in your hand, plowed into your flesh or your forehead, then you're one of them. Now you can go anywhere. Walk up to the vending machine. You want to have one of those Coca-Colas. Well, Lord wouldn't even let me say it. I couldn't much less drink it. But anyway, get one of those. You want one of those? Put wave your hand. All of a sudden, boing, out it comes. Like magic. No money. No credit cards. Nothing. The technology's there. Walk in the store, fill up your cart. Don't even go to the checkout. Walk out the door. It scans everything as you go out the door. They bill your bank account. You never see money anymore. You don't see paper. You don't see coins. You don't have checkbooks. It already exists. The technology is there. They just have to implement it. And with the economy failing like it is, that's all that's left. That's the only thing they can do. They create a situation and incidents provided which demand action, and then they bring in their system, and everybody wonders, how in the world did we get here from there? And people go into their mattress and pull out their fistful of cash they've been stashing away, and it isn't any good anymore. Nobody wants to hear that. Who wants to listen to this? You see, almost nobody wants to hear what is being said here. But these things are true, and the Bible declares it to be so. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and they are being shaken right now. And then shall they see the Son of Man. This is what I'm looking for. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him. Even so, amen. That's when all the authority in this world means nothing. All the gavel pounding and all the meetings and that nasty Pelosi and all these people have and behind closed doors, that all means nothing then. When the Lord appears in the sky, that's it. Isn't that something with that stimulus package? I've yet to feel stimulated by that. How much was done behind closed doors? Other senators, representatives standing in the hallway, the door's locked, they're in there doing all their stuff. Oh, you want to read about it? Here, you can, it's just over 1,000 pages, you got 2 hours, read it. Hurry up and vote, because I got to go meet the Pope. Got to catch a plane. Nancy Pelosi. She said, there's an urgency, we vote on this now. I must catch a plane, I'm going to see the Pope. You ought to stay there with them. And the other whole bunch of them. But anyway, he is coming again. Our Savior will appear in the sky. And when these things, now watch this, folks, when these things begin to come to pass, have we seen any of them yet? Have we? When you see these things, what? Begin. When they start at the beginning, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. If we haven't looked up to see our redemption drawing nigh, we should have by now. And he spake to them a parable, behold, the fig tree and all the trees. Not just the fig tree, all the trees. Of course, we understand that Israel in the New Testament is the olive tree. Israel in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was the fig tree. And a fig tree cannot bring forth olive berries, it tells us in James. Right? What that means is the only salvation is in Jesus Christ. For everybody. No matter who you are. Okay? When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves. In other words, you know it good and well that summer is now nigh at hand. Hey, if we can watch the trees blossom and say, look, summer's coming, spring is here. Spring will spring on Friday, by the way, if we make it that far. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. What? The signs. Repeated signs over and over every day of the week, multiplying exponentially. You know, I sit back, I listen to these. By the way, the word politician comes from the same root word as tyrant does. Do you know that? Yeah. And they continually talk about you and I. They're talking about us, you know, behind our back. They're talking about us. You and I are ordinary Americans. We're just ordinary. They're not. We're ordinary, right? The only people they're afraid of are those who know the truth. Satan trembles when the people of God find out what they should be doing and do it. He said, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Right there, right at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. What generation? The generation that sees the signs. That's us. We are the last generation on earth. This is it. Right now. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. No wonder King David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, that we are founded upon the word of the Lord. And in this darkness, in this twilight, we have the word of God, which is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We never walk in darkness because we have a light the others know not of. And take heed to yourselves. Now what's he saying? You better watch yourself. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Interesting, isn't it? Because what it's saying here, weighted down. Overcharged means to be weighted down with surfeiting. What is surfeiting? Carousing. And drunkenness and the cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. He's saying there's a great danger there. And I'm telling you, this is what has happened to the churches today. Carousing so-called saints. They're not saints, they're ain'ts. Come on. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. For everybody, how fast is it going to be? How fast does a trap snap? It's over. One quick. It's done. That fast? As a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. And so he says, watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy. You see, none of us are worthy. Could anybody here say, lift their hand to the Lord, I hope you don't do this, and say, Lord, I am worthy. I am worthy. See how hollow that sounds? Could you go home and look in the mirror and say, I am worthy? No, none of us are. But we're accounted worthy. There is an accounting here. The blood of Jesus Christ factors in, and we are accounted worthy. And if you're accounted worthy to be one of His, if you're accounted worthy by the blood, if you're a child of God because you're accounted worthy, then you can escape all of these things. All of them. And stand before the Son of Man. God is able to preserve you until the trumpet sounds. He is very capable of doing that, and he will. And so he cautions us. He says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass." They'll happen, no doubt. "And to stand before the Son of Man." What a day it would be to find ourselves standing there at his right hand. Come on. At his right hand. Knowing that we enter into eternity. An eternity of the glorious wonders of heaven. Where time is no more. It's a walk of faith, isn't it? And we're challenged every day. You know, Jesus often talked about the urgency of time. In John 11, verse 9, it said, Jesus answered, of course, this is John 11, 9, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" You thought there were 24, didn't you? Bible says there's 12. Do you know what tonight is? Monday night, followed by Monday. See, the way God reckons things, when God created the earth, what was it? The evening and the morning were the first day. Evening first, then morning. That way you're always moving into the light. We have our Monday first, then we have our Monday night. Then we have our Tuesday, and after that Tuesday night, we're always moving into the dark. Into the dark, into the dark, into the dark. God said the evening and the morning were the first day. In other words, you have the evening, you have the night first, and then you have the day. Of course, that's the way the Hebrew people in the Old Testament reckon time. You have the night first, followed by the day. Of course, you got the devil turning everything backwards. He did that too, didn't he? Now, today is the most sacred day on the calendar for Mars, the god of war, the Ides of March. March didn't come because people were tramping through what's left of the snow and they're marching through. No. March is named from Mars, the planet Mars. Every day of the week is named after some kind of a pagan god or goddess. Every month of the year as well. If you look at the original, where it came from, the numbering system and all of that, it all is tied to astrology and paganism. All the terminology is there. Satan has built up quite a system. But Jesus said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world." And who is the light of the world? "But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him." Here again, the importance of having the light. Now, in the few minutes I have left, turn with me for a moment to 2 Peter chapter 1. For three verses, beginning with the 19th verse, 2 Peter chapter 1, 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Isn't that wonderful? You see, Jesus was talking about the day. He said the night is coming. And I'm preaching to you tonight, or today, right now. I'd preach it again tonight if we had a service. Maybe someday we will. But I am preaching to you that we are in the time of twilight. The night is just about here. And when it comes, all we can do is watch and pray. You can't work in the night. It's hard for us to imagine, isn't it? But before long, the new day comes. And that's the coming of our Savior. You wouldn't want to hear about a time when you can't witness anymore. You can't talk to people about the Lord anymore. Tell them, hey, the night's coming when no man can work. We must work now. This is twilight time here. It's getting rough already. Used to be able to go anywhere on the street and preach Jesus. Try it now. You see, it's that strange time. It's that time when people don't last. They hear the word and it goes right from them. Dedication goes out the window. The world's so full of things to do. So full of entertainments and things to occupy your time. Why put forth the effort to think when we have so many amusements? Things to eat, things to drink, things to watch, things to do. But we must look at what is truly important here, and urgent at that. And he said that we need to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. There is a light, folks. Even in the night, even in the darkness, that light will never leave us. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. You see, it's in the morning twilight when the day star appears. Twilight time is amazing. There's still light. It's not really light. It's not really dark. It's right between. That's when the fireflies fly. The fireflies never fly in total darkness. We used to call them lightning bugs. Always at dusk, always in the twilight. Never when it's totally dark. We all knew that, didn't we? But you know, that time just before the sun comes up, that civil twilight in the morning, there's a day star. It might be Jupiter, it might be Venus. I'm just talking astronomy now. But in a spiritual sense, the Lord said there is a day star that rises in our hearts just before the coming of the Lord. And that, I believe, is when the Spirit of God, if you haven't yet received the Holy Ghost, make it a priority. Because that day star needs to be in your heart to arise. You've got the gospel in there. You've got the word in there. I'm trying to put an urgency in you to really seek God and don't stop asking him, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. That day star needs to arise in my heart. I'm moving into the darkness. I've got to have some light. And then the dawning of the new day. And the Lord appears. From twilight to night, to the rising of the new day. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's still saving souls. You know, God can save souls in the darkness too. It's just that we can't do any work anymore. The time is going to be a little short period of time coming when all we can do is watch and pray. Lord, speak to those hearts. Lord, save. Lord, but now we can still go out and reach out. Do you hear the words of Jesus this morning? The night cometh when no man can work. It's just a little while. So let's do what we can. Tell everybody about Jesus. And may God pour out the Holy Ghost on those who have ears to hear. Father in heaven, we're thankful this morning that we're challenged by thy word. We know, O God, that these are treacherous times, but yet we understand what it's all leading to and that thy coming is at hand. Lord, be thou with us. Empower us, O God, to do thy will. Help us to walk in the light, to walk in the light of thy prophecy. For no prophecy is of any private interpretation. But all these things are written, O God, for holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let us also be moved by the Holy Ghost. O Lord, that we would respond to these prophecies and seek Thee, O Lord, with all of our heart. For Thou art with us. Thou wilt never leave us nor forsake us. But these are treacherous times, O God. Guide us and direct us through them as we move from twilight into the night and on into the new day of Thy coming. Be Thou with us, O God. Let Satan be rebuked, bound, cast out. Let him be driven out, Lord. And let our hearts be stayed upon Thee and our minds also. We ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen.